Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Friday afternoon, and we welcome everybody to Friday afternoon on SJS here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And what a big weekend. We have the Stanley Cup Final, Bruins and Blackhawks game two tomorrow night in Chicago. You have the Spurs and Heat coming up on Sunday night. The U.S. Open all weekend long with rounds three and four. That means you need to stop at Brewers Outlet. You need to stock up for the weekend, gang. You need to make sure that you are fully stocked with beverages. You need to make sure that you have all the snacks available. You need to make sure that, hey, what the heck, stop by the pickle bar. Get the fresh peanuts. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, an absolute must on any weekend, anytime, and especially on a weekend like this. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilsters General Store hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsters General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilstersstore.com. All right, big day today. Josh Yowie, Pittsburgh Tribune Review, is going to join us. He is the beat writer for the Pittsburgh Penguins. They made a lot of news since the Bruins took them out in four straight games in which the high-powered Penguins scored only two goals in that four-game series. Since then, they have given Dan Bylsma, the coach, a two-year contract extension. They've given Gino Malkin an eight-year contract extension to play, and they're making other moves as well. Josh is going to talk about all that and more. Then we're going to bring in Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. We talked about the Penn State football depth chart yesterday. Ben's going to give us his take on that, plus some on Penn State basketball as well. And then Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, to talk about what the Pirates done. A little Steeler talk as well today. And we have a lot coming up. But first of all, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. The deals are heating up at Sunbury Motors Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Hyundai is the fastest growing import dealer in all of Central PA. And SMC has over 50 to choose from with savings up to $3,500. Sunbury Motors has 10 of the fuel efficient Hyundai Elantra coupes starting at $16,645. Pick from 15 of the top selling 2013 Hyundai Sonatas. And they're as low as $19,730. All with America's best warranty at 10 years and 100,000 miles. As always, SMC is making American luxury affordable with Lincoln. You want savings? Check out the new Lincoln Navigator with over 10 grand in discounts.
That's not small change.
Stop in and drive the all-new Lincoln MKZ, an awesome car with an awesome ride. So get to the big black building in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza across from Wise Markets and see two great manufacturers at one great location, because the deals are hot at Sunbury Motors Lincoln Hyundai.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Welcome, great to have you with us. As we roll through a Friday brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Scheduled today, Josh Yowie, Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Also scheduled today, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, and Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Those are scheduled on today's show, so looking forward to that. And Kevin's back on Monday, and we welcome in Sarah Bartlett. Sarah, hello.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well, and And Sarah's done a great job with us all week long. Let's update the U.S. Open, where the safest place to be at the U.S. Open is in the clubhouse. And Phil Mickelson hasn't hit a shot yet and has increased his lead. Now, he has to hit a lot of shots coming up, starting at 341. Tiger Woods had it going, and then he really botched it at 7. And then had a great save at 8 and is now on the 9th hole. He is at, I believe, 4 over par for the championship. 7. And he was in the high grass, but only about 18 inches off the surface. I mean, only 18 inches off the surface
when he did this.
And he did what all of us do on the weekend. Every one of us do this on the weekend that he did. He stubbed it, and it went 18 inches to the fringe. And then he two-putted from there, and he ended up getting a bogey. That's what dropped him to 4. But he's on 9, the par 3 that goes over the creek and the mini man-made pond that they have that's an offshoot of the creek. And he has himself in a position for a birdie. He'll have one more hole to play after this. And he just missed his birdie putt. He'll have one more hole to play. That'll be the short par 4 10th. But that's where he is. The Phillies open a series tonight at Colorado. Who knows on a daily basis what goes on with that group? They open that series tonight at Colorado. 3 games set to end this 10-game road trip. And this 10-game road trip has not helped their season at all. At all. Pilsner's General Store hotline open today at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsner's General Store. Go to www.hilsnersstore.com. 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, routes 11 and 15. It is the 21st century General Store.
A good without place to pick up some Father's Day gifts if that's what you're doing.
That's a great, great suggestion. Father's Day gifts, and they have plenty of them to choose from at Hilsner's General Store. Also, you make sure you're fully stocked, by the way, for Father's Day weekend when it comes to...
Also a great present for Dad, maybe.
At Brewer's Outlet. I want to make sure you're fully stocked. I want to make sure you don't go into Father's Day and you don't have what you need, because maybe there may be a select beverage or two that Dad likes. Snacks, pickle bar, peanuts, bring fresh. And now if you really want to go all out, take Dad over to Sunbury Motors.
Does that
make a statement about what Dad means to you? Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. I mean, big, big weekend coming up. Excellent suggestion by Sarah Bartlett on what to do. Yes. Love it. That's what we have lined up for you. We roll through this day, on this Friday, and we have a lot to talk about and guests to get to talk about all this and more. I don't know what to say about the Phillies on the fact that sometimes one of the problems is you're just not that good. And I'm starting to wonder if they're just in that category. They're just not that good. Now, the minor league baseball season is going to start, and the future Phils are going to play up at Williamsport, and their home opener at historic Bowman Field is going to be on Tuesday night. The two teams will start the season, State College at Williamsport, in State College, and that will be on Monday night at 7:05, and then historic Bowman Field for that opener on Tuesday night. So future Cardinals and future Phils, no longer future Pirates and future Phils because of the movement in the New York Penn League. It's been dramatic as to what they've done. It didn't quite, for whatever reason, it didn't quite, it went 6 years here with the Pirates, and you know the Pirates will want to get back in, but for whatever reason, the Pirates really delayed a long time getting back into this thing. And they went back and forth, And the one thing you don't want to do in the minor league baseball game, and Gabe and the gang can tell you up at Williamsport, the affiliation with the Phillies has gone incredible, and there's been great security with it. But you don't want to go and wait on somebody. And what I mean, you don't want to go and wait on somebody. If you wait too long on somebody, on a major league franchise, you may go a year without having anybody out there, maybe 2 years with having your field empty. And that is something that you don't want to have happen. Well, it turned out that the Pirates and State College didn't make anything happen for a period of time. And when they didn't, about 30, from what I told, about 30 to 45 seconds after midnight, the Cardinals called because they ached. They wanted to get back in here bad. Well, it took them less than 10 minutes to get a deal done. And the Cardinals get back in here. The Pirates ended up going to Jamestown. They're the Jammers now. And Batavia ended up getting the Miami Marlins. And the Phillies stay with Williamsport. So that's been the shift. A year ago, it was State College, Pirates, Jamestown, Marlins, Batavia, Cardinals, Phillies, Williamsport. Okay. Well, this year, and for the next couple of years, it's going to be Phillies, Williamsport. That stays stable. Marlins, Batavia, in upstate New York near Buffalo. Jamestown, up near Erie, they get the Pirates. And State College ends up with the Cardinals. So that is that's what you got for the next couple of years. And I know the people here are very happy with the Cardinals affiliation. Now, there's some fans here initially that were upset that it's no longer the Pirates. Initially. But that seems to have calmed down. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why that's calmed down just a bit. And one of the reasons it's calmed down just a bit is the fact that the Cardinals have such a winning organization. And State College has never even been close to the playoffs. So Williamsport's had some teams with the Phillies prospects that have done very, very well. But State College has never been close to the playoffs. They've only had one team over 500 here in State College, and that was the first year with the Cardinals. And the Cardinals are a gold standard organization. But that's one thing about having the Phillies up in Williamsport, is that, for example, you see a Cesar Hernandez playing with the big club now, a Freddie Galvis with the big club now. Well, for fans in our area, you saw them with Williamsport. And, you know, we have a much better read on who the Phillies prospects are, and I talk about it openly all the time, about certain guys that I like. I like Rupp. I like Sebastian Valle. There's certain guys I like because you saw them early on. When they traded Darno in the Halliday trade, I could see why Toronto wanted him. Darno was really good. I liked him a lot as a catcher, thought he had a really good bat. And the Williamsport situation, based on the current parent club situation, becomes even more dramatic now because I think fans are looking, you know, what is in the future? How well did they draft? And the draft choices are going to be the ones that are going to be going to Williamsport. I mean, that's, you know, they'll be the ones going to Williamsport. Will be, you know, the draft choices. And obviously some of the other players that are able to, you know, move from Florida up. And that's what makes the New York Penn League intriguing. And the quality of play in the New York Penn League has dramatically gotten better because the draft rules changed last year. When the draft rules changed last year that you had to have people signed by the Major League Baseball All-Star break, you had draft choices higher when signing left and right, even after the College World Series that they were with teams that move forward. And when that, you know, and they were in the league. Number one picks were in the league last year. Early. Not late, but early. And suddenly, quality of play, which usually is really good in August in the New York Penn League, was really good in late June and early July. Because that's been one of the complaints of some people along the way, is that, but geez, you know, they bring the team up from extended. I have to endure that for 3 weeks before they start signing some guys. Well, now they're signing guys because of the new draft rules. And the draft rules make complete sense. They make complete sense. Josh Yowie, Pittsburgh Tribune Review on the dramatic moves that the Penguins have made this week. The Blackhawks and Bruins may be playing in the Stanley Cup Final. The Penguins have been making all the news. We'll talk with Josh about that in a few moments. But news is first. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to have you with us on this Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. It's Father's Day weekend, gear up, U.S. Open, and also Dad's Day, so make sure you have everything that you're fully stocked with for your barbecue, whatever it happens to be, at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com, 7 miles south of Seals Grove, routes 11 to 15, and we bring in Josh Yowie, Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Let's start out, Josh, with the move the Penguins made with Dan Bylsma. What was the initial thought going in and the reaction as to how it turned out?
Well, you know, it's funny. Leading up to the days before Bylsma's extension, I had spoken with a number of people in the organization, and nobody really seemed to know what was going on. I mean, there were some people who absolutely thought his job was in danger, and there were other people who said, absolutely not, he's here to stay. So, you know, I didn't really know what to think, to be honest with you. I know that Ray Shiro is a very big believer in Dan Bylsma, and I think at the end of the day, Penguins ownership gave Shiro the authority to make the decision, and he decided that Bylsma was his guy all the way.
Now, sometimes, as you and I know, you make moves, but sometimes the best move you make is the one you don't make. Here's one they don't make. They decide to stick with it. What kind of statement do you think they made with this?
Well, and I think that's what they were thinking all along, and Shiro even said it the other day. He said, could I really have gone out and gotten a better coach than Dan Bylsma? And I think that's a very valid question. I assure you, if Bylsma were fired, he would have had other teams calling him immediately. But there's not a doubt. We've already heard reports that the New York Rangers were quite excited at the prospect of Bylsma being fired so they could go and get him to be their coach. So the guy's good. He's got, I think, the third or fourth highest winning percentage in regular season history. There's something to be said for that. And if his team's underachieved in the playoffs the last couple of years, absolutely. I don't think anybody would deny that, but I think Ray Shiro basically said he wants some stability in this organization, and he actually referenced the Detroit Red Wings as kind of a model of stability. They're always around, they're always good, they always have the same coach in Mike Babcock, and I think that's what he wants the Penguins to be.
Interesting, because you know George Karl, of course, who'd been the NBA Coach of the Year, I openly questioned and said, excuse me, you're the Denver Nuggets. Exactly who are you going to get that's better? I mean, I think that always has to be the biggest, that always has to be the single question in the room when you make a decision. Okay, if we're going to do this, who's better? And I sense from you that the Penguins basically did that.
Oh, sure. I mean, and that's always the fan reaction when there's disappointment. Hey, get rid of the guy, get somebody else. And I'm sure the Penguins considered all of their options. And, yeah, there are some big-name coaches out there. But, yeah, okay, John Tortorella's out there. Well, you know, he doesn't have a job with the Rangers anymore because the great players, the really talented players in the league don't like dealing with him. So why would Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin want to play for that guy? And there's, you know, Alain Vigneault, who's the coach of the Vancouver Canucks. He's out there. Well, his team's always underachieved in the playoffs. So how does that make him any different than Dan Bylsma? So to me, the Penguins just felt completely comfortable with this guy. And make no mistake, they're not happy with how the season ended. I saw the look on Mario Lemieux's face after Game 4 in Boston. He was absolutely livid. But obviously, there's still a belief in Dan Bylsma and that organization.
Now let's flip it to the Geno Malkin contract extension. It goes 8 years beyond what he has now at $76 million. The cap room, because the cap is going to change in the NHL based on the new collective bargaining agreement, the Penguins, you're going to have two players, Crosby and Malkin, that are going to take up anywhere from 25 to 28% of the salary under the cap over the next few years as to how this plays out. Your thoughts on what they did with the Malkin deal?
Well, one thing about the cap, much like in the past that we have seen, it will start to go up again. In fact, 3 or 4 years from now, it'll probably be back higher than it ever was before. It is lower for the next couple of years. But, you know, Malkin could have demanded more money. He did not max out on this contract. He, over the course of the contract, he saved the Penguins about $8 million. And the Penguins have made it clear. They think Crosby and Malkin are the best players in the world. They're both in their mid-20s, right in the middle of their primes. And they want to keep these guys together and let them be the foundation of the team. So I think it's a pretty good move for both sides. But I will tell you that it makes it difficult for the Penguins to give anyone else a huge contract. And I bring that up specifically because of Chris Letang's situation. He wants close to $8 million per year in a long-term contract. And I don't know that he's going to get that from the Penguins. There's only so much money left.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, you lose that flexibility when you do something like this. Yet Malkin's coming off a season, albeit shortened, where he was really good, but wasn't the MVP type of year.
You're absolutely right, and I think his health played a big role. I will tell you that his shoulder was not 100% for most of the season, and I think the Penguins are pretty sold on the injury being what lessened his numbers a little bit.
Also, the Sporting News did an interesting piece last year when Crosby signed his extension. And it was after the age of 24, what happens to the production of the greats in the game. It looked at Bobby Orr, it looked at Wayne Gretzky, it looked at Gordie Howe, it looked at Bobby Hull. You know, it went all the way through. Various guys. Lemieux was one of them. And all of them kept checking in with really good seasons, but they weren't the same level of production before the age of 24. Irony, research, whatever you want to call it. Crosby and Malkin will get older with this franchise and take up the cap room. Was that ever brought up about age, of Malkin's age and the length of this deal?
Yes, it was. And I've discussed this with all parties. You know, Malkin is 26, Crosby's 25. And it's an amazing stat. That's interesting that you bring that up because, you know, Gretzky won his last Stanley Cup at 27. Lemieux won his last at 26. Bobby Orr won his last at 24. Superstars in this sport absolutely peak at an earlier age. The Penguins believe that just because of the era that we're in and the condition that these guys are in, that a hockey player's true prime now goes into your early 30s. So they really believe that. And I asked Crosby about this during the lockout, in fact, and he gave me a kind of an interesting answer. I said, Sid, you're getting kind of old. You're 25 now. And he said, I've missed so much time over the last few years. I'm really kind of a young 25, so I still think I'll be in my prime into my 30s, and he meant it. And he even went into a horse racing analogy. He said I'm like a horse who maybe will peak when he's 6 or 7 because he had an injury when he was 2 and couldn't run in the air, when he was 3 and couldn't run in the Kentucky Derby, so maybe I'm going to peak later. So that's his belief, which I thought was kind of interesting. But and the Penguins are sold on these guys, and then they really think they've got at least 5 years in their prime left.
One of the items that Dan Bylsma dealt with after getting his extension was that Marc-Andre Fleury's his guy in net. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a lot like Bylsma's situation. I do think the Penguins have considered their options, and they don't really think anyone else out there is better than Fleury right now that they could go get. It's not a great goaltending market. And, one thing with Fleury, he's always great during the regular season. He's always going to get you one of the top four seeds in the Eastern Conference. His problems are clearly mental. And the Penguins, Ray Shero actually came out and said the other day that he wants Marc-Andre Fleury to do some things this summer, and he wouldn't get real specific about it. And from what I've been told, the Penguins want him to get in touch with a sports psychologist and do some work. They think it could really do wonders for him, because it's clear that in high-pressured games, he's just not the same goaltender, and he thinks too much. And, they think at age 28 he can resolve those problems and still be a top-notch goaltender in this league. Physically, he has no problems. He's a great talent. But in the playoffs the last few seasons, frankly, his play has been pretty unacceptable.
Josh, I've always been a big believer that once you've done something, that mentally it should make life easier for you, that you've been there, done that. This guy backstopped a Stanley Cup, and it made a Stanley Cup winning save in Game 7. You would have thought he cleared that hurdle.
It's the most bizarre thing, isn't it? I always say to my colleagues when he has these meltdowns in the playoffs, I always say, how did they win that night in Detroit? Because Game 6 and 7 of the 2009 Stanley Cup Final, you could make the argument that Fleury stole those games from the Red Wings. Now, he was magnificent in both of those games. And he was so much younger then. He was 24 years old when he won the Cup. So if a 24-year-old kid wins Game 7 in Detroit in the Stanley Cup Final, he should be able to deal with any kind of pressure, you would think. But we've seen just the opposite from him, and it makes no sense, and I don't think it makes any sense to the Penguins either, and that's why they think maybe if he does some work this summer with a sports psychologist or something along those lines, that maybe it can help him, because it's kind of dumbfounding to everyone involved right now.
What is your estimation, Josh, on roster turnover from what we just saw in this lockout shortened season to now a full season that will get everybody to camp in September? What kind of roster turnover do you expect?
Well, it'll be somewhat significant. There's a lot of unrestricted free agents on this team that won't be back. I don't see Jerome McGinley or Brendan Morrow coming back. I just think they can make more money elsewhere, and frankly, they didn't have great success during their time in Pittsburgh. They weren't terrible, but they weren't great. And some other guys. I think Matt Cook is a guy who might well be gone. Douglas Murray, another guy they brought in. I expect him to leave. The big guy for the Penguins right now is Pascal Dupuis. He's an unrestricted free agent. His stock has gone up dramatically in the past couple of years. He puts up big numbers. He's a great penalty killer. He's a great locker room presence. There are teams around the league that might well offer him in excess of $4 million a year. I don't know that the Penguins can match that, but they're going to do everything they can to keep him. And in their favor is that Dupuis really loves it here. He's married, has, I believe, four kids, and he's just very comfortable in Pittsburgh. He wants to finish his career here. Can they come close enough to his financial demands to make it happen? Now, that's the question.
Right. And then James Neal's already locked up. He's locked up for at least a couple more years. So that part's
secure. Five more years, yeah.
Yeah. So that part is secure. Do you expect turnover? You mentioned Letang, but what about the other defensemen?
Well, they're going to rely on some young guys starting next year. Simone Dupre is a really talented guy who actually played well this season. And for whatever reason, Dan Bielsa just really wasn't comfortable going with the rookie defenseman in the playoffs. But he's going to have a much bigger role next year, and they really like him. And another kid, Robert Fortuzzo, they really like. He'll never be a star, but he's just a good, solid, young-looking defenseman. And I expect both of those guys to be in their top six rotation next year. And as for Letang, we might as well bring it up because it's going to be a big story. He has 1 year left on his deal. They would love to give him an extension, but given the money that he wants, it's going to be interesting. And I wouldn't be shocked to see him traded this summer, much the way they traded Jordan Staal last summer. They made Staal an offer, and they said, this is as high as we can go, and he said no. And he was traded 24 hours later, and it wouldn't stun me if something like that happened with Letang.
Josh Yowie, always an absolute pleasure. Thanks for the info.
All right, anytime.
Josh Yowie, Pittsburgh Tribune Review, the beat writer for the Pittsburgh Penguins, who made a lot of news this week. Even though the Bruins and the Blackhawks are playing in the Stanley Cup Final, the Penguins made all the news this week. Bruins and Blackhawks will play tomorrow night in Game 2. It's on NBC Sports Net tomorrow night. The Blackhawks overcame a 3-1 deficit, rallied to win in triple overtime, 4-3 over the Bruins to take Game 1, Game 2 again tomorrow night in Chicago at the United Center before they shift to TD Garden for games 3 and 4. And by the way, the NHL coming off an emotional high. That 4.8 rating they had was the highest in 16 years in prime time. And yes, Kevin, that rating blows away the Indianapolis 500 rating. Sorry, Kevo. Next half hour, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. We continue today, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you want to have a...
Our thanks to Josh Yowie, Pittsburgh Sports Report, for joining us. Next half hour, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. We're going to talk about the Penn State football depth chart, a little bit of basketball news as well. Final half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report on the Pirates, a little bit on the Penguins as well. So we have a full day packed in. Kevin's back on Monday, so for those of you who have been aching to get your IndyCar fix, I don't even know where the heck they're racing next. I don't even think the IndyCar guys know. I mean, I don't even think the owners know where they're racing next, do they? That's how under the radar they are. He'll be here on Monday. And Kevin is trying to now set us up at Pocono. I think he's going to have us, I think, in the second turn, right in the middle of the track. I mean, really, a cool venue. Suddenly we're in the middle of the broadcast. Woo! But that's coming up. So we have a lot going on in today's show. At the U.S. Open, Tiger Woods is done. I believe Tiger finished up at 4 over par for the day. Had it going for a while, and then he got to 7. And on 7, I think he hit it from the fairway. And he put it, just missed the 7th green by about, I'd say, 18 inches. He's maybe even just a foot, barely off. And then he did something that all of us do on the weekend all the time, and that is you stub a shot. He stubbed a shot. Now, that's in part because of the thickness of the rough around the collar at the green, but he only advanced the ball 18 inches to the fringe, and then he two-putted from there. He ended up with a bogey, and when it seemed like he had it going, he fell back at that point. He struggled early, but then was putting together a really good front nine. So I believe he is at 4 over and finished with his round for the day, and we'll see where he places because that will then determine where he starts tomorrow. Mickelson's already, he's already like a 10-footer for par on his first hole, and he just missed it. So Mickelson's fallen back now to 2 under par for the championship. He bogeyed, by the way, on his first hole yesterday and then didn't bogey the rest of the day. So that's his first hole since his first hole yesterday. Now today he's starting at 1. Yesterday he started at 11. So that's the story there. The Phillies play at Colorado tonight. That'll be at 9 o'clock at Coors this evening. Who knows what to say about them? They finally had it going. They're over 500. You're feeling good. You think they maybe got something rolling. They lost 5 in a row. I don't know what to tell you. Charlie Manuel doesn't know what to tell you. Fans do know what to tell you. But the people who are supposed to explain don't know how to explain it. But they are the typical. First of all, they don't score a lot of runs. You know, they'll get some well-pitched games and so forth, but they don't score a lot of runs. And they don't hit in the clutch. And they have, at one point it was 79% of their home runs were solo shots. There's a lot of talk now. I mean, the Phillies are in an interesting spot. With that second wild card, you feel like you're in it for a long time. And sometimes when you think you're in it for a long time, that deters a realistic view of actually where you are. Because you may be in it because of the second wild card. You may be in it for a while, but you may be at the same time leapfrogging people. That's something that, I don't know. If you're leapfrogging people, how well are you doing? It's Tiger ended up at 3 over today, by the way. He ended up at 3 over par for the day. He shot 70 today. And I'll tell you, that you know what? 70 is a heck of a round on this course. 70 is a heck of a round. And he is meeting with the media right now in the tent, I do believe. And, you know, they do a lot with the feature group there and so forth. But he's meeting with the media right now as we speak as to how his round went today. But he shot 70. And I'm telling you right now, 70 today is a really, really good score. Really good score today. It's people thought that 62, people are going to break the Johnny Miller record, 62. So and there aren't going to be any 62s. I mean, Mickelson shot 67 yesterday. That might be the best round of this whole tournament when it's all said and done. I mean, everyone wondered how a shorter course would hold up. This course is doing just fine. It is a typical U.S. Open venue, the way it is played. So, you know, that's, you know, the rough is punishing. You lose, you know, you lose the ball into the high stuff, you're going to get penalized.
And then they throw in some of the pin locations that they have, and it's really tough.
Would you be surprised to see low numbers out there this afternoon, Tiger?
I would be surprised, yes.
Tiger, now that you've played 2 rounds, what's your approach going to be going into tomorrow?
Just keep grinding. You know, that's, you just don't never know what the winning score is going to be. You never know if the guys are going to come back, and, you know, we have a long way to go, and these conditions aren't going to get any easier. They're going to get a little more difficult, and as I said, as the fairways start drying out, the ball starts picking up a little bit of mud, and you're going to get a couple of good shots, and we're just going to get bad breaks.
Tiger Woods, his comments, his approach tomorrow, just keep grinding. It's the U.S. Open. That's how you have to play it. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Next, Ben Jones, statecollege.com, following the news on News Radio 1070 WKOK.